Today's service is what I'm calling a bodybuilding service. How many people like to go to the gym? How many people need to go to the gym? How many people have gone to the gym at least once in this decade? Yeah, that was just to pick something up, right? You know, the church is more than just coming and hearing a message and singing songs. Part of the church's ministry is intercession, is praying, both that we ourselves might seek God and that we together might seek God. In fact, Jesus, when most of us remember the story of Jesus breaking in and into the temple and throwing out all the money changers, what did he declare at that point? He said, my house will be what?
A house of prayer.
My house will be a house of prayer. So today our service is going to be very different. I'm going to step through some thoughts as to why we're doing what we're going to do today. Today we're going to pray about the ministry of Emmanuel. This particular focus, not just prayer in itself and having services that are dedicated to prayer, but also the fact that we're praying for Emmanuel, came out of discussions that started at the beginning of the year when we were asking God and seeking God for direction for the church. Part of the discussion said, hey, we really need to have more opportunity to pray. So let me just walk you through some ideas before we get into that. Christians, we're not just supposed to pray, as though that's a good thing, like you're supposed to go to the gym, supposed to eat your vegetables, but God has actually commanded his children to pray. In fact, in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul says this. He says, I urge, first of all, so that makes it a pretty high priority. In his mind, above all the things that he was saying, he said, of all the things I'm about to say or have said, first of all, at the top of the list, that prayers and petitions, intercessions be lifted up for each other, for all men, for our community around us. In Paul's words, he said, in every place of worship. Is this a place of worship? I pray, I want men and women, that's mankind, to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. In the book of Romans 12, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Now, I am not going to give you every single scripture verse in the Bible that talks about prayer. You can look them up yourself. 1 Thessalonians says this, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances for this. Is God thinks this is a good idea? No, this is his very will for us in Christ Jesus. Now here's the question, as we begin to do this and we say, gee, we want to have a time for prayer. Well, if God knows everything, can do everything, is almighty, is all powerful, why does he need us to pray? Well, let me give you some thoughts. First off, that it glorifies God. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, says this. He says, we don't come before you with our request because we're awesome and that we're righteous, but in our coming before you, it declares to us, to the world around us, to the spiritual realm, it makes known that you're a merciful, awesome God. God asks us and commands us to pray because it's part of what builds fellowship. When you sit in the presence of someone, you have lunch with them, you have dinner with them, spend time and talk to them, it builds relationship. And part of why God wants us to pray is that it builds our relationship with him. When we pray together, yes, there's times we pray separately, but when we pray together, it speaks of and it demonstrates or embodies the fact that we're all in this together, that we are part of each other, that our prayers, our voices can work together to accomplish things in the kingdom of God. Our prayer builds our faith and trust, and it declares our dependency. It recognizes that we have needs, that God has built voids and emptiness and needs into our lives. And we recognize that he's the one that we have to seek to fill those. Philippians chapter 4 says, we don't need to be anxious about anything. How many people find yourself anxious once in a while? But our response to those things is that we might bring them into the presence of God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You thank him because you know he hears. You come into his presence with your needs, with your requests, with your concerns, and with thanksgiving, recognizing that you're not praying to an empty box, an empty sky, a God of stone or rock, but you're praying to a living God that hears your prayers and answers them. 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. And we've been talking about what Jesus has done in the book of Hebrews to make this possible for us. It says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, you can't take that piece out of there, you can't take that verse out of there, but if you ask anything according to his will, he'll grant that. So part of our prayer brings us into a place where we get to know him. We're talking with him. We're communing with him. We understand what his will is. And then we can pray in agreement with him for those things. Here's one of the other reasons. God, in the book of Genesis, gave authority. He gave dominion to men and to women. He gave dominion to mankind. And I've used this illustration before. When you have a business and you have a CEO or you have the top VPs of a business, normally, they don't overstep multiple layers of management and go down and talk to the people on the factory floor or the people doing the actual hands-on work. Normally, they have a chain of command, and what they do is they pass down the request through the chain of command until it gets down to where it needs to be accomplished. And God, in giving authority or dominion to us, has done the same thing. In your life, in your family, in the circumstances that you move in, everyone, you, yourself, those around you, everyone has needs. And God says, you know what? I see those needs. Yep, I see them all. And he sits there waiting until you ask him to do it. Because he's given you authority. He's given you dominion. So you can, in that area where God has said, you're in charge of that area, I'm not going to overstep you. I'll come in when you want me and when you need me. You, in coming before God, you're saying, God, over here in this little circle of life that you've given me authority and dominion over, here's what I'm seeing. And Father, I'm asking you over here, I'm pointing out to you that there's a need here. So you are releasing the power of God to come into that circumstance. And if you do not ask him, he says, I won't do it because I've given you the right, I've given you the authority and the dominion in that area. In the book of Ezekiel, here's an awesome thing. God says this, I'm ready to hear Israel's prayers. He basically says, here's what I want to do. I'm going to increase them. I want to cause them to grow. I want them to prosper. That's my heart. That's my intent for them. He says, okay, and now I'm waiting until they ask me to do it so I can do it. There's multiple places in Scripture where God says, this is what I'm going to do. Now you ask me to do it. Why does he do that? Because he's given us authority and dominion. And here's one place where God says, yep, I know exactly what I want to do and how I'm going to do it. Now I'm waiting for you to, not just one person. He doesn't say, I'm waiting for Moses to ask me. He's waiting for the people corporately together to bring their hearts and minds together that they might pray in agreement and ask God to do what they know he wants to do. In the book of Acts, Saul, going to kill the disciples of God, is confronted with Jesus Christ and blinded by the encounter. And then he goes off and he's seeking God to try to understand what had just happened. God, somewhere else, speaks to a man saying, Ananias. He said, hey, down over there in this little town is Saul, who's now going to be called Paul. He said, and he's blind, he can't see, and I want to heal him, and I want to use him, and I have a great ministry for him, but you now go and you lay hands on him so that I can heal him. God knew exactly what he wanted to do, but he waited until a man got involved to go and lay hands on him, and then God did it. And we know what happened from Paul. What would have happened if Ananias would have said, I'm out of here. I'm taking the next boat out of town. Well, we know what happened to Jonah. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus says this, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God is saying that in us and through us, the kingdom of God moves forward or is restricted by our coming into alignment with what his desires are in heaven, and we become the catalyst or the channel through which he accomplishes what he wants to do. Another reason why God does this is it's his method to connect us to him, because we're relationally, to the work that's going on at large throughout the world, and bring forth fruit. We studied that last week. God says, ask, and I'll cause fruit to come. He doesn't say, I'm going to make fruit just happen. He says, you ask me. And then in your asking, I'll release my power that fruit might be accomplished. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said this. He said, ask, seek, knock, and keep on knocking. Why did God say that? Why did Jesus say that? Because he wants us to ask, he wants us to seek, and he wants us to knock. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, so there's a whole idea of staying connected, then as we're connected, we'll know his heart and mind, and then we can pray it in agreement with him, and he'll bring forth fruit. Here's a big one. Here's the verse where we tend to quote this verse right here. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. But let me put that back in context for you so you recognize that you can't just pull it out and just use it for whatever you want. Just prior to that, God is speaking to us about how we, in all of our circumstances and all the struggles and all the challenges and all the challenges that God gives us to work in his kingdom, in life itself, God basically is telling us in this chapter, he says, life is tough, and you're only going to get through it living it out by faith. He says, in fact, it is so bad, it is so difficult. The circumstances that you'll find yourself in are so far beyond even what you could understand with your mind, because the things we deal with day by day, they're not just temporal. They're not just part of physical existence in this world. Everything that comes across our lives is somehow connected back into the spirit realm, and we can't see into that realm. But we have an advocate, Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit who dwells in the midst of it. He knows everything. And so God says, you know what? For those things that you don't understand, those things that you can't, that are beyond your comprehension, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come and I'm going to pray right through you. So God says, here's what I want to do. Now you ask me to do it. And in fact, you know what? Just to make sure that you get it right, if you let me, my Holy Spirit will come and pray through you so you get it right. If we could grasp what God is saying in these things, he's saying, if you abide with me, stay connected with me, fellowship with me at my table, pray and talk to me and understand my heart, my desires for you, for your family, for the world around me. If you'll do that, if you meet with me and talk with me, fellowship with me, I'll reveal to you what I'm thinking, what my heart is, what I want to do. And then you can ask me to do it. And then when you're in agreement with what I'm thinking already, I'll do it. That's the power of what God has said. And he says, just to make sure you get it right, the Holy Spirit will come and pray for you, through you. He says there's even a level of prayer that, you know, sometimes we get stuck. We just can't even put together the thought. We have a burden where we can't articulate. We have questions that we don't even understand or pressures. And sometimes the things that are pressing in upon us, even things that we may not even be aware of, are burdening us. Sometimes God will want you to pray for something. A missionary on the other side of the world that's facing a difficulty, you don't even know the missionary. And God says, I want you to pray for them. But what he says is, he who knows it all will come and pray through you if you'll let him. He says, when your mind gets to be a hindrance, I'll even set you loose. And that's where praying in tongues comes from. When God, by his Holy Spirit, breaks you free from even your own language and begins to pray through you. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. One more thing I wanted to point out is that one of the other reasons we pray is that we do have an enemy that we cannot see. And he seeks to kill, to steal, and destroy you, your family, the world at large. And the way that we combat that enemy is not with natural instruments, but with powerful instruments and armor that God gives us in spirit realms. And we appropriate those things through prayer. And if all that stuff wasn't enough in and of itself, Jesus, how many people think Jesus knew how to pray, that he interceded, that he prayed? Jesus prayed all the time. In fact, his whole full-time job right now, his whole ministry right now in heaven, is to intercede, to pray for you and for me. And Scripture tells us that's the heart of God, that we become just like him. So if you want to be like Jesus, you'll learn to pray. And part of the reason we do it corporately is that it helps us learn to pray. So yes, there's times when we pray privately and you're away from everyone else and it's just you and the Father. Jesus told us there are times when we should get away from it all, shut ourselves away from the world and just pray, just seek God. That is paramount. You've got to do that. You can't depend on everybody else's prayers to connect you to God. But in addition to praying privately, there's also the corporate prayer, and you'll see this showing up over and over in Scripture. In the book of Acts, it tells us that in the early days of the church, that they constantly came together, they fellowshipped with each other, they broke bread together, and their times of gathering were saturated with prayer. In the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us that if any two of you agrees on earth, if we agree, if we come together in agreement, an agreement that's birthed in the heart of God, God says, I'll accomplish it. In the book of Acts, it says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together to God in prayer. Peter, when he was in prison, it tells us that the church got together and prayed earnestly for him. So that's just a little bit of the reasons behind why we pray, and specifically, while we pray together. Now, as we begin our time together, what I would like us to do is, I just want to bring up and remind you, Jesus, when he taught us to pray. His apostles, recognizing how important this was, they said to Jesus, Lord, we thought we knew how to pray, but we don't. So teach us. And so this is where we find, both in Matthew and the book of Luke as well, we find Jesus speaking, and he articulates for us. He gives us this prayer. And we'll pray this prayer together to begin our time together. And I want to point out a few things that we see in this prayer. First off, we see what we call adoration. We see the prayer begins by just uplifting God. God, you're awesome. You're our Father, not just my Father, but our Father together. You dwell beyond this earth. You're holy, you're high, you're lifted up. We worship you and we adore you. It's our desire that your kingdom, your purposes, your heart, all that's on your mind be accomplished down here on this earth. And it says, and we ask you, give us what we need. But it also inserts in here what we call confession, which is, Lord, I've messed up. And I ask your forgiveness for the times that I've messed up. We include in our prayers times of thanksgiving where we say, and we thank you for all that you do for us. And then we ask as well. So this is just a little catchphrase that you can use for yourselves. It's used by the Navigators and others as a way to think through how you pray. You bring your adoration to God, acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession of our sins, thanksgiving, which is believing and thanking God for what he has done in the past and what he's going to do, and then bringing your prayer requests to him. So we're going to spend some time together today. The prayer will be interspersed with some songs by the praise team. What we've done is we've looked at the ministry of the church at large, of Emmanuel, and we've broken it down by our commissions. And so we have people from those commissions that are going to lead us in prayer, commission by commission, but overall for the ministry of the church. Then we'll have a few moments after all that to pray for each other in small groups, and then as part of a demonstration of our unity in Christ, we're going to break bread together. We'll have communion.